sunshine, little Uber, glimmer, glimmer.
Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite gardener. Hello, Lance.
Good evening.
Good evening. January 16, 2018.
Wow.
Yeah, can you believe it? It was sunny and beautiful out today.
Yes, it was very nice.
And we're here to talk about it. 527-486-8186 KVNF now. Worm at kvnf.org. Jeff is ready to take your calls and email. And Lance, let's just do a little wind up from last week. We were talking about the dryness, and we had a good rain, at least here in the North Fork. It rained pretty hard.
Yeah, it rained pretty good, and I'm still watering.
Right. It just like soaked right in.
Yeah, it soaked right in. And everything, because there's no snow, it actually, the grass stood up. You know, things stood up.
Yeah.
It looked really good and stuff. And what I'm watering, as I mentioned, the big, when I hand turn the garden, normally the freezing of thyme breaks those clods down. And that's what I'm watering now.
Right, the dirt clods. I remember that last week. Yeah, it seemed like in my garden and yard, the rain just melted the snow that was laying around.
Yeah.
So
if you want snow to melt, rain will do it.
Yep, so we'll wait for the next round of moisture.
Yeah.
That'll feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about, for the last couple of weeks, mulching. Jer and Wynn started that conversation about gathering up mulch right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wherever you see piles of leaves. And it's funny, but if you're driving around, you'll see just looking around backyards or front yards, side yards, there's bales of hay, bales of straw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all there.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, it's all there. Normally that stuff's going to break down with the snow cover and stuff, and so...
A pile of leaves would take years to break down. A big pile of leaves, because water can't get into it.
Okay, so that stuff that's not...
Yeah, if it's just a single layer of leaves, it's going to rot really fast, but a pile of leaves, people raked it into a pile.
Sure.
Yeah, it will last for a while.
Okay, but otherwise, if it's laying on the ground, usually it's going to decompose for you. It probably will if you give it a little water. And you were mentioning, well, I'm going to give the phone numbers again, 527-486-8186, KVNF now. You were talking about making sure when you're mulching around fruit trees, some rules of thumb there.
Oh,
can you talk about that?
The depth is probably minimum of 6 inches because it will settle.
6 inches of mulch.
Yeah, and that will settle, and then you might come back and do it again. But the real important thing is to keep the mulch away from the trunks of the trees, at least 6 to 8 inches, maybe more. There's not many roots there anyways that are getting moisture. So you could even go 12 inches. And the reason for that is rodents really like to live in mulch, and rodents need to be chewing all the time, and they're going to girdle your fruit trees.
12 inches, that seems like an awful long way out from that.
Yeah, but you can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, but 6 inches is minimum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just keeping them from getting into the bark and getting into the stump and really going after it.
And then also keep the grass cut down around them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Around the tree.
Around the tree, because in the fall, and I've seen if you have like a small orchard or something, and this is mainly younger trees, the bigger trees are pretty, they're not going to bother those as much. But the younger trees, keep that grass around the trunk mowed down in the fall. Because that's where the rodents will make homes, in that tall grass.
That's where they're going to live.
Yeah. Hmm? Yeah.
You've seen this happen.
I've had it happen.
I was going to say, you're kind of talking from experience, like, mow it down.
Mow it down.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing, well, I don't know. You can do that. The other experience I had with plants getting girdled was before I had a fence up, I had porcupines. And porcupines do...
Same thing. They're coming in and they have the chew thing going.
Yeah, but they're what they eat is bark and porcupines. And I ended up trapping over 8.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I'd wake myself up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go out into the garden. And I'd have this one of those big old heavy plastic milk crates.
Uh-huh.
and I put it over the porcupine. They don't run that fast. And they,
you
of course,
chased him out there with the milk crate in hand.
And the first time I'm That's standing on top of this crate, and it's actually lifting me up.
Oh, my. Yeah, pushing massive. Up.
You know, and how, what am I going to do with this guy now? Because I didn't know.
This wasn't the first
it's
time.
The very first time I did it. And half asleep. And what the heck do I do with this guy? So I dragged it, kept the crate on the ground, and dragged it over to a 50-gallon drum and got it into a 50-gallon drum.
Oh, my word. That sounds like a wrestling match.
And so at 2 o'clock in the morning, I drove up, sorry to say, I drove up to the National Forest.
And dumped him out of the drum, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was probably happy to get out of there, back to us.
But anyway, so and that was 15 years ago. I've never seen a porcupine since.
You got a reputation. That's why.
They had a beaten path from the canyon into my yard.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and they don't, they could still be around. There should be new ones around, but
sure.
I don't see a path, and I don't think they like my electric fence.
There you go. You've worked hard on your different fencing, and last week you were talking about the giant hedge growth that you were pruning. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of a fence in itself,
that's
right?
That's a fence, and the there's another fence on the outside. The real fence is on the outside. That's the windbreak and that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
Shelter built.
And plus you learned that trick of digging it deep into or deeper into the ground.
The fence. So that,
yeah. What was your trick there again?
That's it's a 1-inch chicken wire, at least 6 inches down.
6 inches down just to keep people from, keep critters from digging under.
Yeah. Generally speaking, animals don't dig to try to get in. They usually are trying to dig to escape. So I haven't had that much of a problem. Of course, chicken coops are a whole nother thing. You know,
chicken coops are a whole nother thing. We could have a whole series of shows on that.
Yeah.
Those are fun. 527-4868-1866, KVNF now. I've just been noticing a lot of birds lately, and I don't know, just seems like it's early and they're just really digging it, digging the weather. And
yeah,
a little more than magpies, you know, some little songy birds.
Songbirds, and they're digging around for seeds and whatever grubs are in the leaf mold and stuff like that. So
right, and I saw a ladybug. So that was January.
Yeah,
stock show weather.
Yeah.
So anyway, last week too, you were working on the hedge grove, and you also had some fire blight, and you were cutting some apple trees down and some apricot trees, and you did some stump digging over the last week.
I'm going to.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and you want to share some tips and tricks of that trade?
Over the past 30 years, I've dug out lots of stumps. And they're actually, it's dirt work, it's shovel work and stuff, but it's not that difficult. You know, and you start out by digging the dirt around the trunk 2 feet out.
2 feet out, okay. Yeah. And is that irregardless of the size of the trunk?
Well, if they're a bigger trunk, you're going to have to go a little bit farther. But
in general.
Yeah, but the bigger the hole, the easier the stump comes out.
Okay.
You know, at least two shovelfuls or 2 feet. And you'll go down about 6 to 8 inches, maybe 10, and you'll start hitting the first lateral roots.
Okay.
Now you can take a grubber mattox to chop those off. I use an axe. I have an axe that's designated for chopping these roots out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I chop them off at the outside of the hole and right next to the trunk.
Yeah. Okay, so you got the 2 feet out hole and you chop the roots out.
Yeah,
there,
and the reason why you're chopping out the whole thing is because you're going to have to dig down another 6 to 8 inches.
Right,
10 inches, and there's going to be another round of roots.
Okay.
And you do it again.
All right, so keep going down, and how far up down do you go, depending
after
on the size?
After the second round of roots, there's going to be a few underneath there, but I have yet to find a tree that has an actual taproot. That, generally speaking, they're going lateral and down, but not straight down. And those ones underneath, they're not that big, at most an inch.
Okay. Is that a feature of our dry climate, maybe, or just wondering if the roots go up more lateral than down just because they're...
It depends on the water, how you're watering.
Your water, right.
Yeah, if you're watering in a lawn, the roots are going to go lateral because it's not very deep watering.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watering real deep and just in a small area, the roots are going to follow the water.
Okay. All right.
So and then it's spruce trees are strictly surface, lateral.
Yeah, right. You can knock those right over in a good wind.
Yeah.
All right. So keep on going down and pretty soon you're just, you've loosened that up and there's nothing holding it.
Yeah, that stump will definitely come out and you can do anything. You just got to take your time. It takes me 30 minutes to 45 minutes to get out a 12 to 16 inch stump.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
But I'm used to it. I know exactly, you know, the biggest problem is rocks.
You go at it very methodically, I know. And your tools are sharp, that's really going to help. Yeah. And you know what tools you need. It's not like you just start on it, you know, and then, better find something to chop this off.
I've even used, I have a set of loppers that are that it's an old pair. And I
adapted it to.
And it's used in the dirt.
Mm-hmm. So you lop those sometimes.
Yeah, if they're not too big, I'll just lop them off.
So it's the digging clip or digging axe.
Yeah.
All right. 527-486-8186 KVNF now. So let's talk a little bit about pruning.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, one of your tips was, besides the sharpening of your tools, to get your safety glasses out. So
yes. Safety glasses, sunglasses. I wore sunglasses today. Half the time I was pruning, I was looking straight into the sun.
Yeah.
It's like, how does this happen? Can't I go to the other side? But it just...
Well, your apricot wound looks way better this week than last week. That was pretty nasty.
Mm-hmm.
So the trees were kind to you.
Yeah.
Pruning this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and once I was pruning at a friend's house today.
Mm-hmm.
And after our several years of pruning, it actually doesn't take very long.
You just get your rhythm, know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
The
main thing is you actually want young wood for blooming.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people think you need old wood, but you actually want young wood, whether it's pears or apples. Or stone fruit. And so pears and apple, you're thinning. And all those long water spouts, shoots, you're generally going to get rid of them.
Okay. Long water.
They call them water spouts.
Water
long
spouts.
Suckers.
Sure. We see those because you can look at your tree right now and you're like, oh my gosh, I can just see that needs to be pruned. So the water spout shoots, we're going to prune those off.
Yeah.
You're
just going to take them off unless they're going into a blank area that doesn't have any branches. Sometimes that happens, and perfect.
Right, if you could fill it up kind of that area. But in general, you're going to lob those babies off.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, good. That's good. And then it's probably going to become really obvious what's left. What are you looking for now?
Yeah, well, then you're thinning.
Thinning.
Mm-hmm. You know, because here's a saying. If you want the tree to grow more, you prune hard.
Okay.
And if you want it to grow less, you leave more on. You prune less.
Okay.
So today, when I was pruning, I actually left more on those trees because I don't want them to grow anymore. I was standing as high as you could on a 10-foot ladder, and I was still barely able to get to the top of those trees. So that's where I left them.
Okay. Well, that's a good, good saying.
So,
that's easy to remember.
Yeah. So again, if you don't want them to grow much, don't prune much.
So if you're looking to thin, you're just really looking to fill that tree out.
You're just taking out and you want to shape it up. Any crossing branches, dead branches, of course, are all out. And anything that looked diseased. And since I just said diseased, you can at least the minimum is to spray your loppers and saws and whatever pruners between each tree. You know, I mentioned fire blight is between every cut.
Right.
But as you move from tree to tree, the minimum you should do is disinfect your pruning stuff in between the trees.
Minimum. And I think some others and it's okay to do it every cut.
It's okay to do it every cut.
And that would be your bleach.
The bleach is one. I'm sorry to say I don't know what the actual proportion is. I know it's not straight bleach.
Mm-hmm.
It's like more like 50 or 60%.
Okay, so bleach...
mixed with water.
Okay, bleach mix. And what do you use, actually?
I use that, and I use alcohol.
Alcohol, right.
And way back when, I still have some, is Lysol.
Lysol.
Yeah.
They still make that stuff.
I have no idea. I said this is way back when.
That and Fanta. Okay, so that's super important too, because you're cutting mm-hmm. right into these trees mm-hmm. and don't want to leave any kind of disease there to grow when it starts warming up mm-hmm. with this open wound, so to speak.
Yeah, so you start with apples and pears, and like I said, you thin them. And at one point I was thought, oh, look at all these fruiting spurs. They look great. And both pears and apples. And it turns out that they were so old that, yes, they bloom, but they don't bear much. And so you want the younger wood. And you can see it. It'll be green on apples and pears. And peaches and apricots will be a reddish brown. And plums will be a shiny greenish. Some plums are red. Some are green, greenish color.
So it's just shiny. Distinguishing old and new. Yeah, you can see younger wood.
Older wood is definitely woody.
Woody. Mm-hmm. And you want to trim that out or clean that out.
Yeah. But, you know, stone fruit's a whole different thing. You know, I know I'm going lightly over this because it's something that you really have to have a hands-on thing. It's hard to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But stone fruit blooms only on last year's growth. So the new growth of last year is all that nice succulent reddish color on peaches.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be the apricots would be a reddish bronze color. And some plums are red and some plums, like the Santa Rosa plums, are greenish, shiny greenish color.
Okay. So, and stone fruit, are we pruning stone fruit right now or are we waiting?
You can do everything.
We're waiting on peaches, aren't we?
We're waiting on peaches, but you can do everything else.
Okay. So everything else on stone fruit, and you're looking for that to be last year's
growth. Yeah, they didn't bear fruit last year. They just grew last year.
And so that's what you're leaving is mm-hmm. the last year's growth.
Yeah.
Leave last year's growth.
And the trick is that since there was no fruit last year, there's a lot of last year's growth.
Yeah.
So
no
you're
kidding.
So you're going to thin that.
Okay.
You're not going to take it all, but you're going to thin it. Thin out the different branches. You'll see it. Unlike the Santa Rosa plum I put, there was new shoots every 3 inches. I took every other one out, you know, mm-hmm. too much. They were, or some were side by side. I cut them out, you know.
Right. Okay. 527-486-8186 KVNF now. So what do you think about this year then? Does that mean if there's no frost, those will all bear fruit?
Those will all bear fruit.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And so what are you working on right now? You were cutting the apricot trees previously, and you did the apple trees as well. But
no, I'm going to do apples.
Apples still?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then I'll get the pears, and then I'll go into apricots. I personally don't have any cherries because I've never had a good crop anyways in the past, and the birds take them way before, so it's just not worth it.
Right. You end up battling.
I like cherries, don't get me wrong, mm-hmm. but it's just not worth it in my situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was in town, I'd have cherry trees because there's a lot for the birds to eat, but not where I'm at.
Right. The birds just zero in.
Yeah.
What kind of birds are eating those cherries?
Robins, jays.
Oh, sweet.
Magpies. And one year I had cedar waxwings.
Cedar waxwing.
Yeah.
What is that likened to?
Gosh, I don't know. Where the wings fold back in the back, it has a little red dot there.
Oh, uh-huh.
And stuff. But anyways, they took care of those.
They like the cherries.
And I'm sure the magpies do their thing too.
Yeah, you can't stop those magpies.
But I've seen crows or ravens, whatever we actually have here, I've seen them eat lots of cherries.
You know, that whole family of birds is amazing. You know, Amber, who's hosted the show mm-hmm. and been a guest on the show, lives behind me. And she has seen those birds come over to the walnut tree, and they drop the walnuts on the street and wait for the cars to crack the walnuts open, and then they grab the walnuts.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They're smart.
Smart stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like it, 527-486-8186 KVNF now. Okay, what about grapes, raspberry, currants? Is that another group that we're talking about that we can say is like?
That's a whole nother group of stuff. And grapes we don't do yet because not till first week of April or thereabouts. In our area, if you're down in Grand Junction, probably earlier. But up in this area, it's of the North Fork, it's the first, second week of April. And you can always prune grapes late. It's better to prune them late than too early.
Okay, so don't even worry about that right now.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about that in April.
Mm-hmm.
But raspberries?
Raspberries, the kind I have, I actually had to prune them down in the fall. And that's called prima canes, I think is the and the reason why you prune them down in the fall is because there's different types of borers that get into those cane crops. And if you prune them down in the fall like that, they have no place to winter over.
The borers don't?
No.
Yeah, I was just thinking back when Jer from Earth Friendly was on the show. We talked a lot about he was doing a lot of blackberry plants.
Uh-huh.
And his whole berry crop was kind of going crazy. And I was trying to remember what he was doing with pruning up there. As he was still planting and you know, amending the soil
not too long ago. I'm not that familiar with blackberries and stuff. It seems like one year it's all growth, and then that growth of that one year, the next year it's all bloom. It's all fruit production. And then it's old, and you technically prune that to the ground.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Depending on the varieties and stuff.
Right, right.
And, you know, I haven't seen cane borers wherever I've gone. I've not seen cane borers in blackberries. I've seen it mainly in raspberries.
Interesting. Yeah. So maybe just a different.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you can take care of that by tending to your pruning and just
good
practice.
Yeah, I have had some friends that they had a blackberry patch, and they burned half of it to the ground every year so that all the new growth, and then the next year they burned the other half down.
So they had
and they didn't even prune it. They actually burned it down.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's an easy way to manage it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And you did something about, did you remove some of your raspberry plants or something?
Oh, in the spring. Mm-hmm. That soil was near the hedge grove, and there the choke cherries and the hedge roses and the roots from the hedge grove were being so competitive that the raspberries were getting weaker and weaker.
Mm.
Couldn't keep up on the watering.
Right.
Because there was so much competition is mainly what it was. There was plenty of sun.
That wasn't your main raspberry area, was it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
And did you transplant? I don't know.
I transplanted first thing in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And they did pretty well. They even had some harvest last year.
Right, right.
And they'll do really good this year.
Oh, good. So don't be afraid to move stuff like that if you need to move it, right?
Yeah, if you need to move it.
Probably driving now.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be just fine. It's just you sort of got to bite the bullet and just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hand-turned that whole raspberry patch in the fall, and I rototilled it, and there it sits. You know, I didn't plant a cover crop because I want to kill the raspberry roots, so I didn't want to water anymore.
Right. So what are you thinking? When is something going in there and what?
Oh, in the spring.
In the spring. And
It'll be either a flower bed or maybe it'll be dry beans, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Haven't decided yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll just see what goes on.
Stay tuned for the old raspberry patch.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the old
raspberry
patch?
It'll be an annual bed for a while so I can get those roots out and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. So that's a great idea.
I'm not going to plant perennials in there for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Clean it out and totally rid it of raspberry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good deal. 527-4868 1-866 KVNF now. Some of those flowering shrubs like lilacs, those type of things, probably not time to prune those yet.
It's not the proper time, but if you need to prune them because they're gotten in your pathway or underneath the eaves or other stuff like that, because I've seen this, you can do it. It's not going to hurt them as far as cold weather and stuff. The flowering shrubs, lilacs, forsythias, spireas, they bloom on last year's growth also. So if you prune them down now, and generally speaking, when you prune those guys, you prune the whole cane out. You don't you thin them.
Mm-hmm.
And you thin them to
you
the ground.
You go after it.
Mm-hmm. And so generally speaking, you prune after the bloom. And then if you want to lower the whole hedge, the whole plant, then you top it. But I would thin it first.
Thin first, then top.
Yeah, and you're supposed to thin out 1/5 every year, both young, middle-aged, and old. It's a balance, balancing act.
Yeah, you know, there's one where, you know, when you have some of these really old lilac plants that are so gorgeous, you can see that they need to be thinned out and need a little breathing room there. And you just get so nervous about disrupting that. Really, it's just so gorgeous. But just really go for it. They really... They do well.
Yeah, they'll keep
going. They'll
feel
good.
Yeah, yeah. And there's those, like you said, those big old ones, and people really like them. And they actually, if you notice, they don't bloom as well.
Right.
Every once in a while,
help them out.
Yeah, you get some new growth in there, and new growth means good vigor and good bloom.
Yeah. Same thing for some of the really old rose
Hedge roses?
Yeah, hedge roses that are just, oh my gosh, unbelievable. What about pruning those?
Well, I actually prune mine in the hedge grove, and I don't top them. I just prune them off of the ground. So there's no open cuts, you know, not up high. The problem with roses is, you generally speaking, they're pretty tender, and you don't prune them till 2 weeks before the last frost. That's the hybrid teas and floribundas.
And maybe those even the tender ones.
Those, what they call rose vines, which they're not a rose. They're not a vine. It's just a long shoot.
Right.
But that's a whole other thing. Vines need to have tendrils or some way of wrapping itself on its own to climb. Rose vines do not have those things.
Okay.
You have to tie them.
So roses, well, might be talking about roses around the same time as grapes a little bit.
Yeah, but generally speaking, you don't prune roses, except those hedge roses are extremely hardy, and I just go down and I'm taking out just the old canes.
Just cleaning it up, you can see exactly what it wants.
It's really woody compared to new stuff. It's totally different.
Yeah, I think that's the fun part of pruning is, once you get started, you can just see what that plant is just craving.
Yeah, it wants some open space, and you can balance it out. Forsythias or spireas, make them look like it's a water fountain going spraying straight up and then flowing over.
Okay, so thin it down at the bottom.
Yeah,
and
but
then...
just so everything, there's branches coming up and going down out each direction out of the center of that plant.
Okay.
So it's like a water fountain going straight up and just spilling out to the sides.
Okay.
And just, you're going to take out mainly old, but you're going to leave some of the old is in the perfect position. It's not ready to be taken out. And some of the new will be taken out, or I should say last year's growth, but you can see that. But anyways, you can take it out that way. And I've seen people make balls and hedges out of forsythias. Forget it. It's really ugly.
Go for the water sprout look.
Yeah, they're supposed to be free flowing, shall we say.
Right. And the plant likes it. And it probably makes it easy to prune year after year. I mean, you're just going for that same thing. It's just sort of showing itself. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Some good information on pruning. It's that time of the year, or at least it feels like it. I mean, that or take down your Christmas tree lights. One or the other. And we have a great guest coming in next week. Lance, do you want to talk about that?
Oh, we're going to have Frank Stoniker from Osita Orchards. He's also now going to be running the reopening of the Rogers Mesa Research Station.
Awesome.
And so he's going to come in and talk about some of the projects they're going to be doing there.
Great. Yeah, Frank was on the show
2 years ago.
2 years ago, and he has that organic orchard going up there, and he's going to be doing some great stuff with trees and also organic seed production.
Seed production and the grapevines. And I don't know what other kind of row crops he's going to be doing there.
Well, we will find out.
Yeah,
tune in next week. And that would be 6:30 next Tuesday. It's Frank Stoniker from Osita Orchards, and he is going to be the main man at Rogers Mesa Research Center up there. All right, Lance, thanks so much for being here, and we'll see you next Tuesday. And stay Stay wet.
Stay wet, I wish.
Thanks for listening to okay. As the Worm Turns, It's One Woman's Perspective. Coming up next on KBNF.
Have a good evening.
Good night.
Took a shine to, or who you about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, the little old and low.